بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسول الكريم أما بعد. Last week we discussed certain categories of najasat and impurities, ritual impurities, physical impurities, and we spoke about the droppings, the urine of certain animals that will fall under the lighter form of najasat, and those that will fall under the heavier form of najasat, where if it is more than a 5 rand coin in diameter, about 3 centimeters, then a person will definitely have to wash it off to be pure. If it's less than that, the salah will still be accepted. However, it is against purity to perform salah after knowing that that impurity is on one's clothing. And we also spoke about halal animals like sheep, goats, cows, horses. Allah Ta'ala made it easy because people are dealing with these animals. So if that amount of najasat, like najasat al-ghalidha, that 3 centimeter in diameter comes, it will be very difficult for a person to be washing all the time, especially if he's like a farmer. So there, said up to a quarter of that part of the clothing, for example, if it's the sleeve, if it's one panel, or one pants, one leg of the pants, then up to a quarter, permission is given. Once it reaches that amount, then he will have to wash it off. So for example, if you were standing close to an animal and some splashes came up upon him, then he will still be able to perform his salah, and that garment will not be rendered impure in that state. Impure in the sense that he'll have to wash it now and then perform salah. He can still perform salah in that condition. Continuing with various miscellaneous masail pertaining to purity, the water in which najasat also becomes najisa ghalid, and the water in which najasat khafifa falls also becomes najisa khafif. In other words, if you have a bucket of water which is pure, one drop of blood went inside, then the entire water now is like blood. One drop, but the entire water now is impure like blood. One drop of cow's urine went inside, so the entire bucket of water comes into the rule of cow's urine now. So it is impure, person can't use it, can't touch it. If it touches anything, then the same law as explained above will apply to that water if it touches anyone's clothing, anyone's body. We explained about the droppings of bats. We explained about pigeons and sparrows that it is pure. When it comes to fish blood also is not like any other animal's blood, it is not impure. Another animal's blood, flowing blood, is impure. The blood that flows from the animal, that is impure. But fish blood, that is not impure. Sometimes a person catches a large fish, it bleeds. So that blood doesn't make a person impure, napak. And also to note, flowing blood. So flowing blood is impure when it flows from the animal. Inside the body of the animal now, the blood that is there inside, after you, the blood flowed out, that blood is not impure. The blood that's in the meat, that's not impure. It's inside the body of the animal after the blood has flowed. That blood won't be impure. Mosquitoes, the blood that comes out from a mosquito, that's not impure. Flies, bugs, these types of insects, they are not impure, and if there's any type of blood that comes out from them also, that won't be impure. If a person, sometimes what happens is we get waswasa using the low pan toilet, especially the high pan toilet, we have to take precaution. But sometimes a person is using the low pan toilet and he feels like something is splashing on him, urinating. After he's taken all the precaution, you should understand the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that you should protect yourself, istanzihu min al-bowl, from urine. Because most of the punishment in the grave is from urine splashes and not being careful about it. Now after taking all the precautions, to the extent that the ulama mentioned that if a male has to hold his private part and direct the urine into the toilet pan such that it doesn't come upon his body, So he'll have to do that also. With his left hand, he'll have to hold his private part and make sure it's directed into the right place. And then after that, now sometimes it's like waswasa, person feels like he urinated, but he gets like some feelings, maybe on his legs or on his ankles. So the ulama have mentioned that if you can't see any impurity, it's possible that the small, very small drop, small speck could have splashed on him. But Mawlana Thanvi rahmatullah mentions, if it's like the needle, the eye of a needle, very, very small, maybe you look closely, you can see there's something there. So Mawlana says, it's not compulsory to wash it off. If you wash it off, it's better, but you shouldn't worry about that. Don't let it trouble you. Waswasa is another problem today that people have. When it comes to their wuzu, tahara, when it comes to their salah, istinja, all these things, people get troubled a lot, and then they find no peace in their ibadat. So that's one way of shaitan attacking him. So in this case, person shouldn't worry about it. Now how to purify various things? Let's talk about clothing, let's talk about different materials, let's talk about the body. So the human body firstly has to be washed 3 times. If there's any impurity, blood on the hands, it has to be washed off 3 times, and then that part of the body will be clean. Now obviously now if it's on the body, if it's something that can be seen, the blood, you wash it 3 times and it's still a stubborn stain, you have to wash it off until it disappears. Najasat, general najasat, has to be washed until it disappears. Urine obviously you can't see, but if the hands were soiled with some urine or some impurity, it must be washed 3 times. So the human body generally is washed 3 times, and obviously the impurity, the signs of the impurity firstly have to be removed. Like we said, for example, blood has a color. The color of the blood has to be removed from there, and then the hands have to be washed 3 times. If it's a garment, if it's clothing, it has to be washed. If it's something that you can see, like the blood, or if it is stool, for example, it must be washed until all the traces of it are removed. So, if it's removed after washing the first time, I must remember, in that zamana, they had no washing powder, they had no bleach, they had no soap like we have today. Strong, strong detergents, right? And the clothing also wasn't like our clothing today. Therefore, we shouldn't have this waswasa again. These whispers of shaitan is troubling the mind. If we are using soap, the general rule is, if we're using detergents, we're using soap, we're using bleach, we're using all these things, then 3 times a person washes the garment. Each time he squeezes it thoroughly, so much that the water drips out, and then he washes it again, and he squeezes it till all the water drips out, and then the 3rd time, now that garment will be pure. It's possible the stain can remain. Some blood stain can remain. It's possible even if he's not using some strong detergent or something, that there's some faint smell can remain of the impurity. It's possible. So the ulama say, you don't worry about that. Don't worry about the smell. Don't worry about the stain. As long as you washed it thrice and you washed it with that detergent in our time, all these masail is not talking about using detergents. They're talking about washing just like that. So if a person is using detergents or soap and he's washing his hands and washing his clothing, then 3 times, and you shouldn't have any doubts thereafter. Now there are other objects that have a slightly different rule. We will explain that now. I just want to talk about the washing machine a bit. Often this question is asked, that I had some soiled clothes and we put it in the washing machine. Now all these masail about squeezing and all that, now we put it in a washing machine. So the ulama say, see, because of what they call umum balwa, this is something that is done by everybody. Everybody is caught up in this. Everyone is using washing machines, by and large, laundromats, etc. So they said, okay, before you put a soiled garment into the washing machine, wash it a few times yourself, even if you don't use soap. But do what is prescribed in the books of fiqh. Wash it once, squeeze it thoroughly, wash it again, squeeze it thoroughly, wash it a 3rd time, squeeze it thoroughly. It won't take you very long. And then put it in a washing machine. But they say if someone just threw it in a washing machine like that, you must remember you're mixing it up with other pure clothing. Maybe that clothing is a bit dirty, but not impure. Now you're taking impure clothing, mixing it up with pure clothing. They say, okay, inshallah it will be pak. You don't say it will be napak, because everybody is doing it. But the better way and the correct way is pre-wash. So do a pre-wash on the soiled clothing and then put it, impure clothing, and then put it into the washing machine. If a person has leather socks, he has leather socks or he has shoes that are somewhat waterproof, and there's a thick impurity that can be seen, like stool and blood, that comes upon it, then in that case it can even be wiped off. Leather shoes, for example, person got some leather shoes, it's not going to absorb that blood, it's not going to absorb that feces, for example. So he wipes it thoroughly, or even they talk about rubbing it in the sand, to the point where the traces of the impurity disappear. That will make it pure. There was no need for water also. That will purify it. If it was urine, for example, then it will have to be washed. And we'll explain now how it will be washed. It has to be washed. If it is of a type of material that absorbs, then it will have to be washed. Plastic, glass, there's no need for it to be washed because it doesn't absorb. So they say you wipe it until the traces of the impurity have disappeared. As long as the traces of the impurity have disappeared, the person wipes it, then that will become clean and pure. Now this ruling, we have to remember, one is hygiene, one is the masla of purity, right? You're traveling, you need to use a public toilet. It's got a ceramic or it's got a plastic seat. So generally, we take the wet tissue and we wipe it and we wipe it again. So if a person wiped it and it's dry, then Islamically it's pure. But from our side, you know, we take those hygiene wipes, wipe it, make sure. Some people, you know, in the planes they give you that cover for it also. Some people take the tissue and do that, no problem. But for masla, from a masla point of view, any plastic, any glass that becomes impure, some blood came on someone's phone, slaughtering the sheep, and the blood came on the phone. It doesn't absorb. So if a person wiped it now, so then inshallah it will become clean and pure. Likewise, the same applies to jewelry. Someone had some jewelry, it fell and it became impure, then he can take it and he can wipe it. That will be sufficient. If he can wash it, it will be all the better. But if he just wipes it, it will be well and good. However, they say if it's painted with something, or if it has engraving done on it, if it's painted or it has some engraving, now there are grooves there, that you might not see, some traces of impurity are going into those grooves. And if it's painted, then it doesn't have the same rule. They say then it has to be washed, it must be washed, and then it will become clean. Now, if it is something that cannot be squeezed, like a carpet, mattress, something that's thick, shoes, you can't squeeze it. So how do you purify it? So the ulama have written that the way to purify it is, for example, let's say a carpet, you will have to wash it, and it must drip, the water must drip from it, and you let it drip until the water stops dripping. So it's still quite wet, but there's no water that's dripping anymore. That's regarded to be one wash. Then you wash it again, and you wait for the water to stop dripping. It can take half an hour, it can take 1 hour. And then once it stops dripping, and then you wash it again. So we must remember, washing is not wiping. A lot of questions come in the fatawa, in the Darul Iftas, we find it online. The ladies ask, you know, wet wipes, taking a wet rag. So that's not washing, that's wiping. Like how we say masa. If I take wet hands, it's not washing my face. You have to take water and we have to. And masa, you're taking wet hands and you're putting it over there, and that's masa. So this is not masa now, this is ghasal, you have to wash. So even a mattress also. So it has to be washed and water has to drip from it to purify it. If you want to purify it, that's the ruling, that's the masla. So this is important to understand. So 3 times that will have to be done. If it's metal, metal can be purified in the fire. Taken, put into the fire, until the impurity is totally burnt, no traces of it left, gone, disappeared, and is totally gone. Then that metal will be purified. For example, like a knife or a rod that is impure. So these are some of the masail with regards to the purifying of certain things. Then, if an animal urinated on a piece of ground, grass and sand, and it dried up in the sun, so they say the ground will be pure, the grass will be pure, you can read salah there, but if you know that spot, you can't make tayammum. If you have to make tayammum, you can't make tayammum from that spot. But that ground will become pure with the drying of the sun. There's no need to go and wash that area. And they say the same applies to if a person has any bricks that are cemented to the ground, not loose. The bricks are cemented to the ground. Then when it dries and there's no sign of the impurity, then they will automatically be purified. But if it's bricks that are just placed on the ground and it can be removed easily, then they will have to be washed also. Those bricks will have to be washed as well. If a person walked bare feet on a piece of ground that was impure, and the ground was impure, but his feet didn't get any traces of the impurity onto it. He walked on that ground that was impure, but his feet were dry. And so his feet didn't get any impurity stuck onto it. So then his feet will still be pure. It won't be impure. He won't have to wash it. But if he walked with wet feet, he walked with that wet feet on the ground, so then automatically because of the water, then it's mixing with that impurity. And when it mixed with that impurity and it came onto his feet in the water, then his feet will become impure. He'll have to wash his feet. We're talking strictly about purity and impurity, not just general filth and general dirt. Last masla for today, which is often asked, the saliva of a dog is impure. However, the dog itself is not impure. The body of the dog, the coat of the dog, the hair of the dog, that's not impure. If a dog comes, his tail touches a person, body touches a person, then he does not become impure. Irrespective of whether the dog's body is dry or wet. It's an interesting masla. See, sometimes you get the monkeys coming and they touch onto something, touch something. Now we think about hygienic, unhygienic, right? That's a separate masla. Hygienic, unhygienic, carrying diseases, that's a separate thing. We're talking about pure and impure. Because we know, we observe monkeys, we see how they scratch and they touch and they do anything. So the ulama say that even if they have to take their hands and put it into a bucket of water and run away, then water won't become impure. Unless you have definite evidence that the hands were impure. Hygiene, unhygienic, that's a separate thing. Because there's a ruling here, we're going to discuss it next week inshallah. But we're talking about the dog now. So the same applies to the body of the dog. So we'll think now, but this dog now, it messes everywhere. Urinates. What if there's some urine on its body? What if there's some fecal matter? So we don't have to go to that extent unless we see it directly. Like, you know, on a sheep, sometimes you can see there is it on the body of the sheep. You never see anything. If its body is wet also, then in terms of masla wise, your clothes are not impure by just the body touching you, or the tail or the paw even. It's just the saliva of the dog that in the Hanafi mazhab, the saliva is impure. Yes, I think it is the Shafi'i mazhab. In the Shafi'i mazhab, for them, I think just like how we say the pig, the entire pig is impure, the whole body of it. So they also say for the dog, the entire thing is impure. But the Hanafi mazhab, it is only the saliva. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us understanding. Tawfiq to make amal.